roll.
All right, everyone, I'm going to call the meeting of the House Committee on Rules to order for Thursday, March 1st, 2018. I will open a work session on Senate Bill 1547A. Come on up, Mark.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. I'm State Senator Lori Monas Anderson. I'll be very brief because I know you want to be out of here by 2:30 and you have three bills. I just want to let you know that we've been working on this concussion bill for 3 years, and as you know, it sometimes takes a while to get 16 votes out of the Senate. I call this a child safety bill. It truly is. You know that state law prohibits a youth athlete from returning to play if they are exhibiting symptoms or behaviors consistent with a concussion. And so they must return only until a qualified health care professional has examined the individual and provided a medical reason. So what is a qualified health professional? And this is what we spent most of the last 3 years working on. And we have gone through all of the trainings of athletic trainers, occupational therapists, physical therapists, and it's amazing the training that these people have. In fact, I had one OHSU physician say athletic trainers are actually more qualified than many, many, many physicians. So, colleagues, I'm not going to spend much other time in promoting this. I am in favor of the Dash 2 if you want to go, or Dash whatever, the MN9.
I was like, I don't see a Dash 2. What's in a Dash 2?
I have that in front of me. If you decide to go that route, but I would appreciate a yes vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Meek, come on up.
Thank you, Chair Williamson. For the record, Mark Meek, representative from House District 40, Oregon City, Gladstone, Jennings Lodge, Johnson City. And thank you for allowing me to testify today in opposition of Senate Bill 1547A. And I'm here today speaking to you both as a father and as a former youth football coach and a former high school football coach and as a legislator. I believe that this bill will put more student athletes into even greater risk of life or permanent damage. And I'll kind of explain. I understand that ORS 677-0100 through 228 outlines what a licensed medical professional is. And I'm getting to the point that I'm finally understanding what my job here is. As a legislator, we legislate who can practice medicine in this state. And I think it's necessary for the interest of the health, safety, and welfare of our student athletes that we hold whoever is eventually approved to return our players to the field to return to play, hold the highest standard and understanding of what it takes to and what the safety issues or concerns are of players returning back to play. One of my biggest pet peeves is a broken bone is something that a doctor is going to have to go and heal, put a cast on, and have your doctor tell you that that bone is no longer broken before you can return to play. And another example, a cardiac arrest. If a player has cardiac arrest, they're going to be resuscitated, sent to the hospital, hopefully diagnosed. Maybe they can, maybe they cannot. Maybe they need medical procedures before they can return to play. But there's a high level of standard that that player has to go through before they can return to play. So are we saying that concussions do not, because you can't see it, you can't diagnose it exactly, we're saying that it is a lesser of an injury, that we are lessening the authority of which was adopted in Max's bill, which is a bill that was developed 2015, I believe it was, for young student player, high school football player from Waldport that had a traumatic brain injury in 2001. Played the entire first half of the game before collapsing. Now, this may not have solved him, but he did have concussion symptoms prior, many days prior to this. And when we carve out and say that a healthcare professional is a doctor, osteopathic physician, psychologist, physician assistant, or nurse practitioner, that's what the law currently is. And I think that I always want us to look back and reflect on what was the legislative intent of that law. I care deeply about this, and many reasons, because both as a parent and a coach, I've had to deal with it on the field and off the field with these players returning back to play. One example is my own child, who was a baseball player, high school baseball player, catcher even, has a helmet on. Well, unfortunately, when you have a pop fly ball, you flip your helmet off, look up to track the ball, and going back towards the backstop, hit his head against the concrete foundation and busted his head open. And you don't have any more concern in your life than when you have to stay up all night with your son because the doctor prescribes that you don't go to sleep, sure, so that hopefully you will wake up, and you have to wait that 12 hours to make sure that you are, and then you check in with them the next day. There's no greater fear than that. And I've had to, you know, help my players off the field when they've experienced a concussive event. And I've helped them to recover from that under the guidance and care of a doctor. Their athletic trainers actually helped them through the protocol process. They dotted the T's and dotted the I's and crossed the T's as they progressed. And we knew they got better. We can get them into, you know, working out more and getting the rest. But the concussion is, with all the new development of and research with CTE and understanding the just amazing repercussions of successive concussions, I feel it's very important that we take a pause on this. I believe that the law that was put into place was purposeful to help our students stay safe. I do not see anything that has occurred that has, and there's no outcry that I'm aware of. There are not enough licensed medical professionals that can get our kids back to play properly and safely. I know that there's just basically reading through this bill, and this is not my forte. But as a legislator now, I'm realizing that it's my responsibility to make sure that our medical practitioners are licensed, qualified to give the care that we our students need. So I just want to end it. I know you have a lot of work. It's the end of the session. We got a lot of things going on. But as a father, and a legislator, and a coach, I cannot support this legislation. And in the interest of our kids, I ask you not to adopt 1547A in this session. And I look forward to working with you in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Meek.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the dash A9 amendments.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved to adopt the dash A9 amendments to Senate Bill 1547A. Is there any discussion?
Yeah, Madam Chair. I think the testimony of Representative Meek is, I'm very mindful of that. I'm a father of kids that have had concussions in sports, but I also weigh with the fact that I represent a rural area where we need more people engaged. In the balance, I believe Representative Kinnamer has struck the right balance. And so I oppose the amendment because I want the bill as is, because I've received a lot of communication in my district of folks who want the bill. I'm just going to have to go with my district on this. And I believe Representative Kinnamer, perhaps he could say that it's his intent to have this bill as is, as opposed to the dash nine, because it's more people being able to monitor athletes. Is that true?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And You know, I would prefer the bill as it came over, but I understand that's not the way it's going to happen. So I will support the bill either way.
Thank you, Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would concur with what the good representative from the Central Oregon District said. I think, you know, one of the things that, of course, we weren't in the hearings for these, but all of the letters that I have seen concur with what Mike said, in that the trainers are trained to do this, and they're trained to recognize this. And I think to knock down the numbers of the people that are capable of recognizing concussions would hurt us all, and I think especially the rural district. So.
Yeah. Representative Smith-Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have had no involvement in this bill. However, I do want to share what I understand to be the most significant concern and the cause of pulling out the trainers, which is the idea that if they're school district employees and that there would be pressure, undue pressure on them as district employees to certify a kid to go back in. I'm not casting any aspersions on, and I've heard also lots of people say, well, those trainers often know the kids better than maybe their own doc does. And I completely respect that. And I still find it a very compelling argument to not put someone who is an employee of the school district into that uncomfortable situation of being the person who is asked to certify whether that student is fit to go back in.
Yeah, Representative Barreto.
Well, if I could just thank you, Madam Chair, if I could just rebut that, you know, the potential for litigation, I think, is there all the time against the school districts if they did practice that habit. And so I think that in itself would prevent them from being pressured or forced into making a decision that they didn't think was the correct one. So.
Representative Rayfield.
I was just making sure that I understand, Representative Barreto, that the lawsuits actually might make this safer.
Say again.
I'll withdraw the question.
Madam Chair, if I could just rebut that.
That's not happening
here. Oh, boy. You guys have to move somewhere. Somebody get that on tape. So I just want to. Do you want to say something, Representative Wilson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah. Only one thing. In past testimony, have any of the trainers talked about coercion? Do we know of?
Has it happened or no?
Thank you.
No. So I just want to thank everybody who's worked on this. I know it's been years in the making. One of the things that the Dash 9 does is it requires a report back in 2 years. The protocol, as I understand it, at OHSU and the training is new. Right now, nobody's taking it. So the fact that we're expanding it to anyone means we're doing more than we would do without this bill. I think there is great discussion about whether or not doctors should be taking this training, because just because you're an MD doesn't mean your specialized training in concussions and brain injuries. So I think this is not the last time we will see, we will have this conversation. And so I know right now it's a little bit of a judgment call on our behalf of who belongs in and out. But I think part of where we're going is, you know, we'll be back. We will have another bite at this apple. And I think we will continue to change how we deal with traumatic head injuries and concussions as the science develops. So I think this is a good first step. I think with the A9s, we have more support. And again, the A9s add in a report back so that we can continue to have this conversation. And it is my bet that we will continue to have this conversation in the intervening 2 years as we watch how this rolls out. So thank you all. With that, is there any further discussion? Sam, can you please call the roll on the A9s?
Representative
Perez?
No.
Representative Colby?
Aye.
Representative Ketterman?
No.
Representative Nose?
Yes.
Representative Smith-Warner?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
No.
Vice Chair McClain?
No.
Vice Chair Rayfield?
Yes.
Chair Williamson?
Yes. Motion passes.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 1547A as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved Senate Bill 1547A as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Yes.
Madam Chair, I just want to be able to go on the record that having lost the vote on the amendment. The choice before me now on behalf of my district is whether it's better with this bill or without this bill, and I think it's better with this bill. I'm disappointed, and my district clearly wanted the bill as is. And I hope that this bill will be helpful, and we'll be mindful to expand the amount of people who would be able to treat athletes in perhaps smaller towns, to recognizing that we don't have as many docs to go around. But in that regard, I'll support it.
Thank you very much. Representative Barreto.
Yeah, I was thinking of voting no, but I would agree with Representative McClain.
Great, thank you. Yes, Representative Kenemer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to thank Senator Mona Sanderson and Dr. Senator Steiner Hayward. They put in over 3 years on this, and I think it's time to move forward. I would prefer just a little broader, but you know, you take what you can get. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right. With that, Sam, can you please call the roll?
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Representative Kenemer?
Aye.
Representative Hicks?
Yes.
Representative Warner?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Vice Chair McClain?
Aye.
Vice Chair Rayfield?
Yes.
Chair Williams?
Yes, motion passes. Representative Kenemer, will you be the carrier?
Yes, thank,
thank you.
Thank you.
With that, I will close the work session on that, and I will open a work session on Senate Bill 1567.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, we heard Senate Bill 1567 at a previous meeting. Instead of reading the SMS, I hope you'll indulge me.
Yes.
Thank you to LC, Dan Gilbert, as well as your previous committee staffer, Aaron Seiler, for helping me explain this. And I see that we have Steve Trout in the room, just in case I say anything wrong. Essentially, what this bill does is, when it comes to the reappointment of state senators, it changes no existing practice for how, if a state senator in their first 2 years steps down or steps away, that position would be refilled. If a Republican state senator steps away, a Republican will take that position. If a Democratic state senator steps away, a Democrat will take that position. What this does do is it does do a little bit of a tweak to existing law. Near as we can tell, going back at least 40 years, no major party has otherwise taken advantage of this tweak in state law. But what it says currently in statute is a major party prior to, before the 61st day before the general election, can by party rule just essentially bless a candidate and have that candidate go forward and be the person on the general election ballot. No major party that we can tell for 40 years has actually done this. Everyone has gone through a primary election. But it's my understanding that the intent of the Senate is to do away with that. This still allows minor parties to go through with that process and not have an election. But if you are a major party, if you are a Democrat, an independent, or a Republican, and you are a state senator within your first 2 years and you step down, you have to have a primary election to get on the general ballot.
So, it makes a lot more sense.
It does. That was a great explanation.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just one question. So if you are a newly elected state senator in your first year and you pass away, say, a month into your term, what happens at that point with this bill and then previously?
With this bill, nothing would change. So the area that you otherwise represent, your precinct committee people would get together and your county commission would get together. They would have 30 days to decide on who the reappointment is. If for whatever reason at the end of those 30 days you don't have a name, the governor has 10 days to figure out who it's going to be. But this bill does not impact that.
If you were into the third year of your first term, right past the election that representatives would be elected at, the same thing happens. Then do you have to wait till the primary for the year and a half later?
No.
Same process.
Same process.
Okay.
Representative Smith Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So to clarify.
What
this would do is to fill a vacancy in a state Senate seat only.
Or any four-year partisan.
Partisan.
Position.
Any four-year partisan position, okay? So not a nonpartisan. May I follow up?
Yes. Thank you. Let's continue to talk
about
this bill.
I know. So what they but would there still be the option of filling it through the appointment process as currently happens? Or would you have to hold a primary election? Or does the appointment process count as the primary election?
Yes. If, for example, in the first month, somebody gets reelected, for whatever reason they pass away, then the 30-day period would kick in. The position would be filled by appointment. Okay. And then they would fill that vacancy for...
to the next general and then blah, blah. Yep, exactly. Just like happens now.
Exactly.
So what does this change exactly?
So there is a little hole in law that says state parties can essentially just bless someone.
Just have a, okay. Yeah. So this just takes that away.
It, for
it does not
parties.
Require any party to have a primary instead of the appointment process. It just takes out that little loophole.
Exactly.
Okay.
A loophole
for
four, that...
For 4-year partisan elected positions.
That is correct.
So not a county commission, for example, that's a 4-year position that is a partisan because there's still 5 or 6 counties that they're partisan races.
That does not impact that.
But that would not be impacted. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Representative Kenemer.
Yeah,
let's clarify it right now.
One more clarification is that we've said in the death, but it would be resignation too.
Yeah. Resignation.
Any vacancy. Yes. So let's just clarify that.
All right. Yes. Representative Bretto.
We just have a short recess just to discuss this.
Sure.
Yeah, could you
recap?
Only
if you discuss it with me. I'll send Barbara over. all right, we'll see. All right, we're back on. We are in the discussion and clarification portion.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I just want to look back to Mr. Trout to see if I mischaracterized anything that I've said so far today.
Come on up. Let's do some more clarifying.
You managed to stay off the record the other day, but... not today.
You shouldn't have come.
Because we confuse ourselves pretty quickly in this committee.
Uh-huh.
On this topic.
Yeah, because we're crystal clear on everything else.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Steve Trout, State Election Director. I think the only thing that I would clarify is that this would require a primary in the case where a resignation in the first half of a senator's term before the 70th day before the primary, it would require a primary. It would not be a choice. Excellent. That's the change.
Yes. Oh, yes. Barbara Smith.
Thank
Warner.
You. And so, therefore, this would change it so that this would make it so that if that resignation happened in that period, you would not do what we all think of as the standard procedure of the appointment process. It would require a primary instead.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith Warner, no. So we've got two pieces here. We've got filling the appointment,
mm-hmm.
which would continue to
That's
be the PCP process
okay.
and the county commissioners.
Yeah. Right.
But then because you're in the first half of a 4-year term,
mm-hmm.
the statute says that then at that succeeding general election, so at the 2-year mark,
mm-hmm.
just like we had for Governor Brown here the last time,
yes.
that has to go before the voters.
Same
That's
process.
Where this would come into play for those nominations.
Uh-huh. Because so indeed there was no primary.
Correct, because it was too late.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I hope that clarified it and didn't open up something
I was going to say, but Representative McClain.
Hey, does the Secretary of State have a position on this?
Madam Chair, Representative McClain, I don't believe the Secretary has a position. We're here to answer the process and the procedural
okay.
questions.
Actually,
do you have a position?
Madam Chair, Representative
Steve
McClain.
Trout on his own.
I think that most people assume that what this law does is what happens, that if a resignation happens long enough before the primary that it would appear on the primary.
Mm-hmm.
And as your analyst said, the statute isn't that clear and allows a political party to decide whether mm-hmm. to use that primary or whether to do it by party rule.
Because it sounds like we haven't done it. So people will presume this is the process because it hasn't. We haven't done the other process in 40 years or whatever. So,
Madam Chair, I believe that's correct.
And
yeah, sure.
Thanks. So since we're not doing that other bill, I feel like we have a lot of time now. So I would just like to point out, for example, I was appointed midterm. I was appointed before the 71st day of the whatever. So I started in January of the even numbered year, and then I had to file in my primary, and someone else filed as well.
Mm-hmm.
I did not just get that. And so this is trying to make sure that if that had happened later, if I had ended up getting appointed in April.
You were in a 4-year seat.
And in a 4-year seat, yes. Mm-hmm. That I wouldn't just automatically have then been that party's candidate which indeed I am not in, I wasn't in the 2 year. So if I had, yeah.
And they continue to primary you.
Correct.
And so, Madam Chair, so in that instance, mm-hmm. Senator Dembro,
yes,
under this rule, would have had to earn the primary instead.
He did
of,
also. He already did. He
because the party chose, yes, to do it the way that we're codifying now and not use the exception that we're giving.
No,
rid
he
of.
Didn't hit the timeline. Right. He was appointed in December. He had to file to run in the primary. He didn't have somebody run against him, but I could have. I'm just saying.
You would have won.
Right.
You've taken him.
Yes.
All right.
So, yeah.
I'd like to name this the Dembro rule.
Right. That's right. Are there any other possible questions about this bill? Just thinking about
how about
it.
Oh, probably. The question.
Yeah, floating around. Okay. So with that, I will take a motion.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Not a question, Tim, but I think I'm just going to be a no on this. Hasn't happened in 40 years. I mean, it's kind of like, what's the problem?
Actually.
And what's the solution? And so,
Steve, don't go.
So anyway, that's kind of what I'm saying.
So, yeah. I think I might be able to. Dirk Trout, is there a conflict in the law that this helps resolve? I was under the impression when reading that this that there was actually a little bit of a conflict in the law that this would help resolve that.
Madam Chair, Representative Rayfield, this would help clarify that. It doesn't happen very often, but you know, we had it this year with Senator Farioli's seat. And so that's what forced us to look into the statutes and what the options were. Everyone assumed that it would be that it would be at the primary, but that's not what the statute currently requires. And so I think that's what motivated this bill.
Ah. Okay.
The Benz bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Renaming it by the minute.
And actually, Senator Farioli wanted to have a primary just to kind of clarify the
And Madam Chair and Representative Barreto, the Republicans and the Democrats chose to use the primary, and so that will be on here. The Independent Party chose to do it by party rule.
Mm. Okay, Independent Party is still a major party.
All right, now
with
let's
that said,
let's take a motion of some sort.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 1567 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Rayfield has moved Senate Bill 1567 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Are there any objections?
Oh, that's great.
Wait. Yeah, I'm gonna be a no.
All right, Representative Barreto is a no. All right, with that, motion passes. Who wants to carry this?
I will. Smith, Warner, and McLean.
All right, with that, I will close the work session. And we are going to not do anything on the other bill that was listed. Should I adjourn, Adam, or recess, or what's the best process if we?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, if you could carry the measure over until the next meeting, and as soon as we determine when that next meeting is, we will post an agenda. We'll make sure it gets out to all of your offices.
All right, so I'm going to carry over 1528 to our next meeting. Listen to your office staff, and we'll be back when they tell us to be back here. All right, with that, we're adjourned. Well, you guys have